Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Believe it or not, it's already Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog. There you go. I'm having one of those days already. There was a new blog that went up this morning, so swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three
So, all right. Well, you know, Dan, I got to tell you, I was a little worried about this morning, so I almost called you to check on you because I know you have to get up every morning and put your pants on, and I was quite concerned that you could end up on the 10-day disabled list because of it. But you were okay?
Well, I fell over, and yeah, no, I'm fine.
Oh, God, I couldn't believe, yeah, you know, like yesterday I was trying to figure out, watching the first game of the doubleheader with the Cubs and the Dodgers, why the hell Dan's guy Justin Wilson was closing the game. You know, I mean, he's had issues right and left. I didn't understand it. And, of course, he went out and blew the game. You know, game two, luckily, they didn't need a closer. But in between games, Joe Maddon came out and mentioned that Brandon Morrow tweaked his back. Now, they didn't go into any detail about it. Maddon just said he didn't want to say anything because he didn't want the Dodgers to know before game one and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada type of stuff. Well, then the news comes out that Brandon Morrow tweaked his back, taken off his pants. Dan, how is this even possible? I mean, this is like the Sammy Sosa sneeze thing, right?
Well, I actually had a friend sneeze and brought it back while driving the giant van. But, you know, that's exactly what I thought. And, you know, and what I thought was how much ridicule Sammy Sosa and the Cubs got for the back sneeze, or the sneeze and throwing out the back. And how this is just pushed off as so nonchalant, like, yeah, you know, threw out his back, pulling on a pair of pants.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, tomorrow. It happens every
yeah.
day.
Yeah,
it happens every day if you're 80 plus. I mean, if number two doesn't even have this happen to him, and he's over 80. So, the weird part, the thing that always throws me with all this garbage is, you know, this is a professional athlete who should be in prime shape. And yet he gets dinged by something that is just ridiculous and stupid that doesn't happen to a fat, out-of-shape SOB like me. But yet it happens to a typical professional athlete.
Well, you've got to wonder if back issues were part of his issue of trying not to suck when coming over to the Cubs.
You know, I'm sure they were. He had so many injuries throughout his career. I thought they were all arm related, but I'm sure there was a back in there along with probably just about it. They called it a tweak, but you end up on the 10-day L with a tweak. You know, and I know we're going to hear the BS. Well, you know, they're being careful, and you know, we don't want to rush them back, and we're going to get all this BS because, well, that's what we always get, especially from any Joe Maddon interview is pretty much 80% BS. So, yeah, I don't know, Dan. How long's he out? Is this going to turn into season ending, like a lot of Brandon Morrow injuries do?
Probably. No, I don't think it'll be season ending. He'll end up on. Yeah, well, I guess. Do we have 60 days to give?
Yes, yeah, they do. You can transfer guys to there. So.
Well, no, I meant, do they have 60 days for the season to give?
Yeah, I think we're still okay then. So it is June. So, you know, you can come back at the end of August and get ready for the playoffs. Oh, but while we're on injuries, the San Francisco Giants managed to acquire another one for themselves, Dan. This time it was their closer, Hunter Strickland, who broke a pinky on his throwing hand, or his pitching hand, punching a, I think it was a chalkboard, or he punched something. So he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. I know this is just kind of one of those things that always seems to happen to the Giants. I don't know how it goes. They just seem to manage to get pitchers hurt right and left no matter what. If you're them, how do you react to this guy hurting himself more or less?
You find him?
Can you do that? Yeah. So, but, you know, like I've heard a lot of guys say that this is going to be the end for him with the Giants. Do you see it being that drama? I mean, are they going to trade him now?
Well, you know, first of all, I thought you were kidding when you brought that up yesterday about punching the chalkboard. But, I mean, they've been kind of waiting for this guy to break out. Kind of the year he started really doing the pitching well. So yeah, things they, you know, I mean, I know Bochy had a lot to say in a situation where, you know, maintaining players. You've got to wonder if he wants to continue to work with him or not. You know, this is kind of been their guy over the last couple of years. You know, he's only in the first year of arbitration, and they've got him until he's 33 in 2022. You know, can you? Well, I'm trying to find the numbers here. I've got the contract. Is he worthy of it? Not worthy of it. Can he give you anything in return?
Yeah, I guess that's the other question. You know, can you? You know, how much do you get for general stupidity? I'm not quite sure how that, you know, how that kind of works out. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, they waited for quite a long time for this guy to develop into the closer, you know, that they thought he was going to be, you know, hard thrower, and then just couldn't seem to get the job done. You know, this year he's had some success, and then, you know, this ends up happening. So, but yeah, they were saying that Sam Dyson apparently is going to take over as the closer. I was a little surprised they didn't go back to Melanson, but you know, who knows? Maybe he's still working his way back into shape, or however you want to call it, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they'd be able to get a little something back, or, you know, depending on who they're going with. I don't know if you're looking for prospects or if they would break the mold and get ostracized again for maybe swapping, you know, taking on a contract, or, they, you know, in that sense, maybe some other veteran, you know, because then. Over his career, over 2015, you know, he's appeared in an average of 70 games. But in 15, 16, and 17, he's averaged almost, you know, just under a strikeout per inning, respectively. And, you know, while he's only had a handful of saves, he didn't really get into that role until this year. But, you know, in 2015, at a 2.46 over 51 innings, 2016 at 3.1 over 61 innings, and then it dropped back down to 2.64 over 61 innings last year. And then, you know, Reed, what was I talking about, strikeouts? You know, he had 50, 57, and 58, and he's already landed 29 this season while only giving up 4 home runs in those 3 seasons. You know, I mean, he's got pretty solid numbers. He's not, you know, they don't have, I'm on spot track, so I don't get all the stats. I don't get to see how many saves are blown or holds are out there, but I think if they were looking to trade him, they can work out a pretty nice deal with him. And, you know, once he becomes healthy, if that pinky doesn't become too much of an issue, I don't know how arbitration stuff works when you trade a guy, but, you know, if you're able to take on Hunter Strickland, who's only getting $1.5 million this year, you know, what would you pay this year? Next to nothing. And then you've got 3 years of arbitration.
Yeah, I don't assume that they'll be killing him. I think it's just kind of a media overreaction. But yeah, it was kind of humorous, because as I was thinking about this, you know, like I tweeted you right away wanting to know how LeBron James could play in the NBA Finals with a broken hand, but, you know, Hunter Strickland couldn't pitch. Then the second thing that came to mind was, you know, one of my favorite movies is Bull Durham. And there's a bar scene where, you know, the two characters fight and the pitcher punches the catcher. And the first thing the catcher asks him is, what hand did you hit me with? So, you know, and he's like, well, you know, you never hit a guy with your pitching hand. And obviously, that was the mistake Strickland made here, was he hit a chalkboard with his pitching hand. He has blown 4 saves this year, Dan. He's 13 out of 17 as closer for the gun. So
that's not bad.
No, I think that's about – that may be – as far as closer, that may be tied for the lead. So, you know, there are, some, you know, quite a few guys who've blown 4, but – yeah, it's not, that's not a huge issue for him too bad. So, but now, were you like me? Were you surprised that they didn't go back to Milwaukee?
I mean, I just assumed that's what they were doing. I didn't even really look into it, or you know, maybe I should have, but you know, I really honestly found out from you right now. I mean, I just assumed.
Yeah, that's because I, well, you know, I was kind of under the same, you know, same assumption as you were there, and then I heard it this afternoon while I was just kind of going through, you know, all the other fun stuff that I, you know, I always do as I attempt to get ready for the podcast. And sure enough, they go, yeah, the Dyson, the Giants are going to go with Sam Dyson. And I was like, wait, really? Like, you're kidding me, right? I mean, he's been incredibly inconsistent since back to when he was a Ranger, and I was just kind of like, okay, this could be interesting. Why not Melanson? But there was no real report or anything, you know, on if or why they made the decision. So,
I'm trying to think of a reason to give you, but
yeah.
Maybe coming from Bochy.
Yeah, you know, and again, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I don't know if there was a quote that went along with it, or if it was just something that, you know, a media member decided. Maybe, you know, maybe they did it last night, and, you know, they just decided that, you know, this was how they were going to do it. But what is, where is he? Yeah, like Melanson has appeared in 7 games since coming back. It's 6 2/3 innings. But the ERA is 2.70. You know, and to be fair, Dyson has been good for the Giants. 2-1 in 35 games. He does have a couple saves with a 2.45 ERA. Their bullpen, when you look at their bullpen, it's been really good for them, with the exception of Corey Guerin, who's had his struggles. You know, your guy Tony Watson has bounced back. He's having a real good year. I'm going to probably butcher this last name, but Rayo Moronto has been really solid for them. You know, you add Melanson back in. Will Smith, if he can stay healthy, has pitched really well. So, you know, and that's kind of a Bochy forte, though, isn't it, though, is getting the most out of the bullpen?
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, and it's funny because when you sent me that text about Strickland, I really didn't think, or tweet, you know, I didn't think a whole lot about it last night. You know, what the role would be of, you know, if it was going to be the closer or not. And then it wasn't until this morning when I checked my fantasy and I'm like, oh, how great is that? I have Tony Watson, the setup guy, and Mark Melanson, the closer.
But then, they pull the rug out from under you.
Yeah, exactly.
So just like it. Yeah, you know, well, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, again, like I said, maybe they're still kind of working back into, you know, what they think should kind of be going on there. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see how that kind of works out. But, you know, being that it is Wednesday, though, Dan, we did have quite a few day games today. We have five that are final and two that are ready to go final. We had the Reds beat the Tigers 5-3. Tyler Mullen got the win. Michael Fulmer took the loss. And Lucille Iglesias got a save. The Jays beat the Braves 5-4. J.A. Hop got the win. Anibal Sanchez took the loss. And Ryan Pepra got the save. The Phillies beat the Cardinals 4-3. Ed Ubrey is what I'm guessing that first name is. Ramos got the win. And Sam Cuviala took the loss. Adam Morgan picked up a save for the Phillies. The Indians slapped the White Sox around, beat them 12-0. Corey Kluber got the win. Ronaldo Lopez took the loss. And the Cubs shut out the Dodgers 4-0. John Lester got the win. Ross Stripling took the loss. We have one game just went final. The A's just beat the Padres 12-4. I believe Frankie Montas got the win there, but I don't know who took the loss. I don't know if it was Lucchesi who started for the Padres or not. And then two outs in the top of the ninth. Giants have beaten the Marlins 6-5. So that will go final really, really soon here. So that's where we are with early games, at least. So, and I, you know, I have to ask you, Dan, you know, big, well, what I think is a big game tonight. The King pitching against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. How you feeling about that? You got Hernandez on one of your fantasy teams, right? You do get the start tonight. He's going to roll for you.
Hernandez.
Yeah, the King, Felix.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you get a little muffled. But yeah, no, I mean, I've got him going. Hopefully he gets on the win. But, you know, here's the other side of it. I didn't realize it until earlier this morning. In the other league, I actually have Jonathan Loisiga. Say that name.
Yes, I don't think I could. I don't know. So either way, you're hoping to get a win.
Yep.
So hopefully that will
work out. One way or another, right?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, they could both get the no decision and then get the no decision. You know, that those are the kind of things that happen to me. Oh boy. You know, then for whatever reason, and I don't know, I guess this is just how my deal is going to go on with this, but, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I do the minor league team together. We can, for whatever reason, just not keep guys healthy. You know, like we just got J.P. Crawford back, and he's still again. Jay Bruce just, like, came off paternity leave, and he's back on the DL again. So it's just kind of like, man, you know, I don't know, these guys are start taking off their pants or something, because, you know, we're getting to the point where we're not going to be able to field a team. So, but I guess, yeah, I guess it's just our turn to go through that.
Probably. I mean, are you guys still in, you know, playoff role contention?
Yeah, well, you know, they do this in two halves. There's two halves to the season. So we're a little bit, I think, out of it for the first half. I think if we could get hot and put a small streak together, we could get back in contention. You know, if we could manage to win six or maybe nine in a row, which is just 3 weeks in this league. But this is also the league where, you know, like our league is daily, where we can go in and make changes, no big deal. This league is weekly, so you put the lineup and it's day. Well, I had J.P. Crawford in our lineup, so now I'm getting, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of zero. So, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, boy, here we go. So somebody else is going to have to make that up. Hopefully we'll get some starts or, you know, something like that, because we're going to scuffle if not. But yeah, it just seems like, you know, just that's how our luck is going to go. And it's like, oh boy. You know, but that, I guess to be fair, that's been kind of my luck all year with the other leagues too, right? I got Matt Bowman back. He's been one of my decent setup guys. I think he made one appearance and went back on the DL. So it's just kind of like, hey, there we go. What do we do now?
Yeah, I just had Carlos Carrasco enter the 10-day. So that I could take, you know, the Yankees pitcher off of NA and put him back in the starting. Plus, I believe Brandon Crawford is on NA for maternity or paternity leave. Yeah, paternity leave. So, it's been kind of funny how I just been able to kind of juggle back and forth with the NA and DL. You know, I was able to, I don't know why I didn't notice it a couple of days ago, but I was able to get Clint Frazier back in. I kept him as he was reactivated.
Yeah.
Sunday or Monday?
Yeah, I forgot who went on the DL. I saw they brought him back. So, is he getting enough at bats to be useful for you?
Today is going to be the first one, but you know, he did play on the 18th. He started on the 19th, and then, well, I'm in my mind, I'm a couple days ahead, so today he's starting. So we'll see.
Yeah, because I picked up Blake Swinehart for the Red Sox, because now he's a two position guy, catcher and right field. And again, our league, the outfield, are position specific. That's why it's right field. You know, and I thought he could be a really good backup. And then if he's getting playing time, I'm going to be able to plug him in right field as well. But yeah, he's not getting a ton of it back. So I have to go in and rethink my, and it's just my backup catcher. The Orioles sent my guy down, which I guess is picking an Oriole. I should have known better there, but I read at some point in time that he would be a rookie of the year candidate, and that just blew up in my face. So I can eat that one, but it's yearly and I have a good starter, so I'm not too concerned, but yeah, it doesn't look like Swinehart's going to work out for me, and I might have to go on the route for a backup catcher.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping though he either Kyle Seager or Clint Frazier plays pretty well tonight or hits a home run, because I opted to sit J.R. Candelario. He hit a home run.
Well, speaking of home runs, did you remember to put your home run derby line together today?
Yes, I did. And today, I only went with guys hitting in the third position. That being, what was his name again? Nolan Arenado.
Ah.
Hold on. Didi Gregorius and Manny Machado.
Yeah, I stuck with my theory. Of course, there is no money shot tonight because the Angels are off. So just Bryce Harper, who is back in the cleanup spot for the Nationals. And again, this is third base week. So I paired them up with Todd Frazier, who's hitting cleanup for the Mets, and Mike Moustakas, who's hitting third for the Royals. Now, Dan, I have managed to get a one home run in each of the last 2 days. I noticed it only took three last night to money. Trout and Harper, of course, did not come through for me when I needed them. Trout only homers when it's like it takes six to win, and then he'll hit two in a game, and it doesn't get me anywhere close. And Harper just doesn't homer when he's in my line. I'm sorry, Nationals fan. But, yeah, I've gotten two in the last 2 days, and none of them have been by Trout or Harper.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had them.
Oh, and then, yeah, I need some help kind of shaking off, I'm having solid outings here at FanDuel, but I'm not getting enough hitting to win. Like yesterday, the lineup I put together scored 134 points and I was 8 points out of the money. And then this afternoon I did a lineup that scored 130 and I think I was 10 points out of the money. So I'm getting really good pitching, but I just can't get over the hump for my hitting. So I'm hoping this is the lineup that kind of shakes it out. I'm going to jump back on the Astro bandwagon tonight. Their winning streak ended last night, but I'm going with Charlie Morton for $10,000 against the Rays tonight. Catcher first base, I got Mike Zunino of the Mariners for $2,500. He's hitting ninth there. Second base is Rogner Odor of the Rangers for $2,400. He's hitting sixth. Dan will be sad to hear that I have Nolan Arenado at third base. He's hitting third for the Rockies at $4,800. Then to pile on Dan some more, I have Manny Machado at shortstop hitting third for the Orioles at $4,400. My outfield starts with Michael Conforto of the Mets, $3,700. Then we got Ben Gamble of the Mariners for $2,300. He's hitting eighth. Conforto is third in the Mets lineup, by the way. Then I go with Robbie Grossman of the Twins, who's leading off for just $2,100. So I'm hoping there's a lot of value there. And then I wrap things up with Brock Holt of the Red Sox, who's hitting seventh, cost me $2,600. So the quick recap, Charlie Morton is my pitcher. Mike Zunino is the catcher first base combo. Rogner Odor at second. Nolan Arenado at third. Manny Machado at short. The outfield is Michael Conforto, Ben Gamble, and Robbie Grossman. And my utility guy is Brock Holt. This is for the main league tonight, so it starts in about 7 minutes if you're putting your lineup together or whatever else you got going on. So hopefully you're doing better than me and you can get a big win. So we'll see how it goes. We're creeping up to that trade deadline. So, the rumors are starting to drop out, right and left more and more on how we get these things. And, one of the obviously Manny Machado is still the big thing. And, apparently it's the Diamondbacks now that are hot on the trail of him. So we'll have to see what comes out there. But, with all the injuries to their bullpen, it appears the Red Sox are out looking for bullpen help. And if you read the blog this morning, you'll realize that every team in Major League Baseball is looking for bullpen help. But the Red Sox have apparently targeted Brad Hand of the San Diego Padres as the guy they are interested in acquiring. Hand, I believe he's leading the National League. Is that what that is there? Yeah, 21 saves, a 2.43 ERA, and his whip is 0.97. He's also signed for 2 years after this through 2020 with an option for 2021. So the Padres are going to want quite a bit to get him in a deal, and it appears that they're looking to acquire someone to the caliber of Rafael Devers, who's been, the Red Sox young third baseman. Yeah, I don't know, Dan. Is this something the Red Sox would do? Would they dump a guy like Devers or Devers, depending on how you want to pronounce it, to upgrade their bullpen for a guy they would have till probably 2021?
That's what you have prospects for, right?
Yeah, but, you know, Devers is on their roster. I mean, he's their everyday third baseman. Would that be a move they would make?
They always say pitching is what wins. So I think if, you know, you've got to give something up to get something, and he might be the most logical choice.
So, yeah, and then, you know, the other rumor is it appears that the New York Mets may have finally given in to the media and all the experts saying that it's time that they tear this team down. The quote they use here in this article is that the Mets are open for business, which means they're willing to deal, which apparently includes Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard. They want to keep their younger guys together, but those are guys like, you know, the shortstop Rosario, Nemo and Conforto, the outfielders, and then Seth Lugo and Robert Gutzelman. They're really young pitchers. Boy, Dan, if you're a team that just needs that starter, you got to make this call, right? I mean, DeGrom is a freaking Cy Young Award contender with the way he's been pitching. I mean, just a little run support, he could probably have double-digit wins. And Syndergaard, while, you know, he is on the DL with that finger or whatever. Strained ligament in his right index finger. You got to figure he'll be back soon. You make this call, right? I mean, you're going to have to give up something to get these guys, but, man, you add one of these guys to your rotation, this could be it for you, right?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, the fandom just came out of me, well, in my brain, because I'm like, well, how could the Cubs do this? How could they work it?
Yeah, well, you know, then I think the question that always bounces back to me with this in my head is, why in the hell would the Mets do this? I mean, we know you're struggling, but, I mean, you're looking at two guys that are legitimate aces, because let's face it, nobody's going to want anything else you got unless Cespedes can prove he was healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and while they'll get a boatload of prospects in return, you know, again, I mean, you don't know how those guys are going to work out. I mean, you know, and then what? You tell your fans, hey, you're going to have to wait 4 or 5 years while, you know, you're looking at this team. And I, you know, if you allegedly have all, you know, all this talent and you don't want to give up these young guys, why in the hell are you going to give up these pitchers?
Trying to come up with a good reason. I mean, I know we talked about this before, and we kind of went in, not, you know, super deep, but we kind of went into the terms of the contract. And I mean, the money is not high. You know, it's not like anything that they can't afford to begin with. You know, but I mean, that's one of the things that's going to make it super attractive for any team, even a team like the White Sox.
Yeah. You know, and I know they, for whatever reason, you know, the Mets seem to be the most injury prone team in baseball. You know, besides Syndergaard, you're looking at Jay Bruce, who I mentioned earlier, Cespedes, AJ Ramos is on the DL. They're talking about now he may need season ending shoulder surgery. You know, Travis Dunnall had Tommy John. Juan Lagares is out with a toe injury that was so bad he's going to miss the rest of the season. You know, then they got TJ Rivera has been on the 60-day DL, hasn't played at all this year. And I didn't even mention David Wright, who, you know, I don't think has played in 2 years, but technically he's still on the roster on the 60-day DL. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's more time that they start looking at their training instead of just kind of throwing in the towel here. Shouldn't they?
Well, wasn't David Wright's more of a freak accident?
Yeah, you know, yeah, he had one injury that led to another injury, and it's just been kind of a downhill slope for him. Believe it or not, he actually started baseball activities on May 31st. There's been no timetable or anything for any type of David Wright return. But, you know, even if he does come back, you got to wonder if or how, you know, there could be anything that he could do. So.
And I feel bad for the guy, but I mean, I feel like his return to the Mets will be some kind of thing that they put together for his retirement.
Yeah, at one point in time, he was a great player, and the injuries really destroyed his career. But, yeah, you got to figure, even if he comes back, it's just kind of a ceremonial type of tour at this point. Even though I'm going to have to look here, but I believe he is I think he's still under contract for a few more years after this. But you got to figure – you would hope that even he sees the writing on the wall now. I mean, he is 35. He'll be 36 in December. And, he's actually signed through 2020. $15 million next year, $12 million in 2020. I'm sure they could work some kind of buyout and, you know, maybe he could stick around as an ambassador or you know, something like that with the team. He played 37 games in 2016 and 38 games in 2015. That was the last action he had for the Mets. So,
too bad, too. Because when he got that contract, it was, what, 7 years? It was pretty much, a long-term deal to lock him up. And, I'm sure Mets fans were excited. I was happy because I thought, something cool to see a guy get to maintain and be with his team. And, sadly he got hurt.
Yeah. And then, he just kept getting hurt, just one of those things. But yeah, I mean, you're looking at a guy, he was a 7-time All-Star. He was a 2-time Gold Glove winner, won a couple of Silver Sluggers. He had a really good career going for himself. And, we've seen it before. He's not the first guy this happened to. The injuries just cut it short. But, I keep looking at the Mets, and like you mentioned it just now when we were talking about the Red Sox, how pitching wins. You need pitching to win. And, man, I'm looking at this, and the frickin' Mets have pitching, and they're going to give it away. DeGrom is 30. But as far as a pitcher goes, that doesn't mean anything. He can pitch till he's 35 or 37. He left-handed, he could pitch till he was 40. Wheeler's 28. Mats is 27. Syndergaard is only 25. I don't know why the hell they would deal him, hurt or not. And unless you're giving me 6 prospects that are going to be guaranteed starters in the major leagues, man, I'm not giving you a 25-year-old stud. Are you?
No, and I mean, that's kind of what we had talked about previously. When you brought up the fact that some Yahoo was talking about the Mets tearing it down.
Yeah. But apparently, it seems like, they're going to be dumb enough to listen to these Yahoos. And I know their bullpen hasn't been great, but you can say that about any team. We went over it. Bullpens are so hit or miss now. And it's, Dan, it's got to suck to be a reliever now, because with the way starters are handled, you almost have to pitch every freaking day. Because you're only getting 5 innings out of these guys because managers are so terrified of them. It's kind of like, holy crap, I got to pitch again? It's ridiculous. I understand why bullpens suck around the league.
Well, and they always bring up the fact that you have to give guys rest. And mainly we're talking about position players. But how can you continuously rest these guys when you're not even carrying enough bench players?
Yeah, because you got to carry 14 freaking pitchers. So, you know, and, you know, I do wonder, you know, like the, you know, the Mets made some, you know, questionable decisions with their everyday lineup. You know, like, I didn't have any problem with them bringing Adrian Gonzalez in because I think Dominic Smith needed a mentor. But you had to find a way to get Smith it back, and they didn't do that. And then, you know, they went out and they kind of, you know, they brought in basically, you know, journeymen. I mean, you bring Jose Bautista in, you bring Jose Reyes back. And, you know, I guess, you know what I mean, at least you're letting Rosario play. You know, he needs to play every day at short. He's just 22. This is just 23 at first base. If you think he's your future, you got to get these guys in your lineup. You know, when you start playing, you know, they're young, they're going to have problems. Remember that the Yankees are playing a rookie second baseman and a rookie third baseman built around a really good quality lineup. And, you know, I know if Seth Bush is back, this would be a much better lineup. I get that. And, you know, hopefully he'll be back and healthy soon. But, yeah, I wonder more about that than I do to give up on your top quality kind of big-time stud pitching. I mean, you know, they went out and they re-signed Jay Bruce when they already had four and five outfielders ready to play. And it's like, okay, well, why the hell did you bring Jay Bruce back? There were probably other guys on the market you could have went and got. You know, now he's hurt, so Brandon Nemo's going to get the play every day. He's having a great year, and probably, well, DeGrom will be an all-star, but maybe Nemo sneaks in. So, yeah, I would have a bigger concern of how they piece their lineup together than what the hell's going on with their pitching.
Not only that, I mean, they've had trouble keeping managers. Every other year, I feel like they have a manager.
Well, can you blame Tony Collins for wanting to get the hell out of there? you mentioned it, they brought in this guy, you know, Mickey Galloway. Was it Galloway or Callaway? I don't even remember. But, you know, he had great success as the Indian pitching coach. You're like, okay, you bring this guy in, worst case scenario, he'll be able to handle the pitchers. You know, and the starters are doing well. You know, I know Jason Vargas has had some struggles, but he was hurt, and you got to wonder if maybe he's still rounding into Jason Vargas type of shape. But again, you know, another guy who just can't magically handle his bullpen, and he was also the yutz who came out at the beginning of the year and said he didn't want his starters facing another team's lineup for a third time in a game. Dan, you have to explain that to me, Dan. What's the big deal about facing it for the third time? I mean, if you can get guys out, you can get guys out, right?
Yeah, I mean, not only that, if they haven't figured you out in the first two, what makes you think that anything's going to change in the third one? And not only to add to that, you know, let's go back 30 years. You know, they didn't have the technology that they had 30 years ago. So all you're going off of is the, you know, whether it's the bench coach, the hitting coach, you know, you're a batter. You're going off what the hitting coach is telling you and the bench coach, like, oh, this is what he throws and how he usually throws it. It's all, you know, word of mouth. So back then, you know, it was more, maybe a little bit more conceivable. But to use that as an excuse now that you don't want your hitters to go against the guy for the third time, I mean, the video is there now. We can watch the last 5 years of a pitcher and watch every single, you know what I mean? So, and not only that, if I'm a guy that's, you know, for the Mets, who's been in the division for the last, let's just say David Wright, he's healthy and, you know, he's been going on and on and on. And you're playing the Nationals or Marlins, but, you know, basically the Nationals or, you know, any of the teams in your division, you're going to have tons of tape on David Wright versus blah, blah, blah. So you're going to be able to watch all this and know what kind of have an idea of what comes and what goes. So whether you face a guy, a pitcher a third time or not, you already know what he's going to do. So I don't think that has any merit. That whole, can't let him see a third bat here.
Yeah, it seemed incredibly stupid to me. You know, God, well, you know, if he gets to the third at bat, then, you know, what's weird is, I mean, if you think about this, you know, if your guy has a little bit of a rough outing, but he's getting out of it without giving up any runs, you know, those third at bats could pop up in the fourth or fifth inning. And you're going to take your guy out even though he hasn't given up any runs just because it's the third time through their order? You know, in reality, I probably would have fired the guy right there. I know you just got the job, but get out because you're an idiot. And, you know, I mean, that's no way to manage a pitching staff. You're going to kill your bullpen. And when you look at the Mets bullpen, it's dead. It's DOA. Stick a fork in it. They're done. So, you know, it's just kind of like that. Nice going, man. Is this what Chris Russo sounds like? Oh, sorry. But all right, Dan, well, you know, the other hot name, you know, if you're looking for starting pitching, which again is very popular, apparently the name you're going for is you got to call the Blue Jays and you want to know about J.A. Happ. Now, you know, he just beat the Atlanta Braves today. I think he went 8 1/3 or 8 2/3. He's 8-3 on the year. It may be 9-3. I don't know if this is updated, but we're going with 8-3 with a 3.48 ERA and 14 starts. 2 years ago, he was a 20-game winner. Last year, he only made 25 starts due to injury. You know, he is signed through. Oh no, okay. This is the last year on his deal. For some reason, I thought he was signed more, but. Yeah, no, he's in the final year of his $36 million contract that he got from the Blue Jays. You know, it's pretty clear that Toronto isn't going to compete in that division. So, you know, they'd be pretty happy to move this guy. It looks like the Mariners and the Yankees are the teams that are kicking the tires because the Yankees haven't said they want to add one more starter and, you know, the Yankees, you just never know what they're going to do. You like Hop going to one of these teams? You know, he was a Mariner back in 2015 and they dealt him to the Pirates. So does he want to go back there or what do you think with this guy? I mean, is he a good investment, you think?
Mute. I think he'd be great kind of going back to Seattle. If I'm Toronto, I don't know if I want to make that interleague deal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, would you be more willing to send him to Seattle or trade him within your division to the Yankees? I mean, granted, it may only be for half a season, but, what would you prefer?
Well, like I said, I prefer getting him out of my division. But, you know, depending on what the Yankees throw at you, that'll help. But, you know, Cashman's been pretty he's been really smart with the moves that he makes. So I don't see him going out and making some kind of huge move and giving up the bullpen, selling the farm for a guy, the rental player, which, you know, we both know that they could sign. But unless there's a more of a guarantee that there's going to be a signing, I don't see him going to the Yankees. I mean, me personally, just because I'd like to see a new team in the mix, and the way the Mariners have been playing, I'd like to see them go after him and get it because I think they could, if they were able to shore up another pitcher, I think that would really help them.
Yeah, now, you know, there's going to be other names. You know, we're going to hear the Chris Archer name, even though he's hurt. But the Rays, you know, I don't know why the Rays would be willing to move him. And again, unless you're blown away by an offer, there's no reason for them to move him with the contract they have if they kind of work this out. But what about a Cole Hamels, man? You know, I mean, once upon a time, you know, this guy was a freaking World Series hero. He goes to the Rangers in a pennant race, and I mean, has anybody disappeared more than Cole Hamels?
I forgot he was playing until you mentioned him.
You know, and he was real good for the Rangers when they got him down the stretch that year. He was 7-1 in 12 starts with a 3.66 ERA. When he came back in 2016, he did go 15-5 with a 3.32 ERA. Last year he was dinged up, only made 24 starts, but still went 11-6. The ERA was a little elevated at 4.20, but he found ways to keep his team in the game and get wins. This year he's made 15 starts. Now the Rangers aren't very good, so he's 4-6, but the ERA is actually at 3.41. You know, on a good offensive team like the Yankees, who have shown some interest, you know, Hamels could be a really productive middle-of-the-rotation guy. Now, Dan, there is a catch here. He's mentioning that if he's traded, I believe he has a limited no-trade clause. He's mentioned that if he agrees to be traded, he wants the team he's traded to pick up his $20 million option for next year. Are you in on that with Hamels? I mean, he's 34, but again, he's left-handed. You know, these guys can pitch till they're 50. Just ask Jamie Boyer. You know, could Hamels be kind of that under-the-radar guy we forgot about that all of a sudden pops up on a contender and leads them into the playoffs?
I don't know that I would say leads them into the playoffs, and I don't think he'd pull a Justin Verlander. But I think, you know, especially with a team like the Yankees, they have – I mean, but let's be honest, even if they say they don't have the money, they've got the money. I think the only team that wouldn't want to add the money would be the Dodgers. I haven't looked at their numbers in a little bit. I forget how far they're over the threshold, but they were way exceedingly over it before. So I know they've been trying to get down so they don't have to pay all those taxes on it. Which I still have to look into where the hell that money goes. But, you know, I think it would be a little bit more fitting for the Yankees because the Yankees are the ones that really have something to prove. You know, I mean, we talked about this the other day with the Astros, and I asked you, you know, do you foresee the Astros just kind of strolling in? You know, and I'm not going to say it's going to be a cakewalk, but I still feel like they're the team that's going to take it for the AL to the World Series where – the Yankees, I think, have more to prove because they ended up, you know, obviously losing to the Astros and not making it to the World Series. And they have a great lineup. You know, the batting order all around is solid. The pitching is all around is pretty good. And, you know, they didn't do it with all with buying everything, kind of, sort of. But, you know, I think adding that extra pitcher, a guy like Cole Hamels, and you know, they already have the veterans with CeCe in the mix there. And I know Sonny Gray hasn't hit that status yet. I don't know if you consider him a veteran pitcher, but, you know, adding Cole Hamels into that, I think you have it'd be nice. And then you don't have to, you know, rush to use these rookies up that they keep calling up.
Yeah, no, you know, the Yankees end up all the time. We hear it. It seems like they're involved with everybody. You know, like, I think their name even came up with Manny Machado, even though I don't know what the hell they would do with them. What I'm more interested in, Dan, is, you know, you got guys like, okay, you got a J.A. Hop on the market. You got a Cole Hamels on the market. You know, how about a team like the Braves or the Brewers going out and making one of these moves? Now, you know, we don't hear much about these guys making trades unless it's for Manny Machado, because that's the only guy they ever want to talk about here. But, man, how big of an ad would a guy like that to be to one of these locations where they would get a veteran guy, and in Hamels' case, with World Series experience? You know, that could be a big deal for young teams that are really playing well right now, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the Yankees name always comes up. And, I mean, to be honest, I think going to working with Texas, you might not have to give up as much to get Cole Hamels off their, you know, off their books, and being able to take on that $20 million, I think the Yankees wouldn't even flinch at it. Where the Brewers, they'd have an issue with it slightly. Where I think the more fitting would be between the Braves and the Yankees. But I think if the Brewers were going to make a move, J.A. Happ would be the guy to go after.
So yeah, and then you know, I know we're getting close to running out of time here, but I saw this one and I knew I had to bring it up because I hadn't heard this yet. But apparently, and you'll get a kick out of this, Dane, this off season, and I don't think we've talked about this team at all. That's why I'm drawing it out. One of the biggest players in the Bryce Harper market this off season, Dan, is going to be the San Francisco Giants. You know, Bobby Evans has already come out and said they were willing to be all in on Harper. You know, they went after Stanton, and they were willing to take on all of his money, which was like almost $300 million, in a deal with the Marlins. But, of course, Jeter went with his boys and sent him to the Yankees. Boy, man, do you see Harper in a Giants uniform? You know, Cutch is a free agent, so I'm guessing he would probably end up going somewhere else. And Hunter Bush has really struggled. You know, how about Harper in a Giants uniform? How would you like that?
I would like that a lot, actually. I'm not even the biggest, you know, Harper fan to begin with. But I don't know. You know, I mean, that sounds really exciting. For years, they can bring over his boy, Chris Bryant.
Yeah, you know, I mean, how surprised are you that they're willing to jump in? Because now this is something the Giants normally don't do. You know, they have signed pitchers in the past. You know, Cueto and Samardzija that hasn't really worked out. But position wise, you know, they haven't brought in the big stud type of guy. So, but yeah, it looks like they're willing to throw some money around. You know, are you surprised? Excited? Interested? What's your range of emotion here?
Not so much surprised, but definitely a little bit more excited. I mean, that changes the makeup of the team. And, you know, you got to wonder what that means for Bryce Harper, especially since they drafted a catcher. Right? That's
yes.
Rim shot joke. But, you know, you pair up Bryce Harper and you know, with Buster Posey, I mean, what a combination.
Yeah, imagine Harper hitting in a lineup where he would have protection.
Kevin Longoria?
You know, my guess, you would probably hit Posey in front of him, but you could put Brandon Belt behind him with Longoria and even Brandon Crawford. And you would have a pretty potent lineup there and guys who could protect Harper, you know, in a way that he just doesn't have now. So it could be a hugely interesting move. And I got to tell you, I would root for one out of most of, if not all, the other teams that apparently are going to be in the sweepstakes here.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, you say it makes me want the season to be over.
I did get a laugh. I saw one of the guys mention on MLB Network that Bryce Harper shaved because he's going to have to get used to it when he signs with the Yankees in the offseason. So it's probably a good thing I wasn't on set with the guys because I probably would have punched him in the face and gotten fired, but that's just me.
And where would he play in Yankee Stadium?
I don't know. Again, don't forget you can go over to 2mm.com and listen to the podcast anytime you want to.